Blog Talk Radio.
And hello again from Miami to Montreal.
You're not the best man.
Sweet cream on an ice cream sandwich.
Blew your boat.
Excuse me.
Oh, son of a bitch.
Baby oil.
I don't even know what that word means.
You gotta be kidding.
It's not over.
The world is listening.
Oh, my.
The North American Wrestling Connection. Bringing you great wrestling discussion since 2007. Sanctioned by...
A man that needs no introduction to wrestling fans, Jeff Hardy. Welcome back to LAW. Let me ask you, what brings you back here to Law?
You know what, man? This is Sanford, North Carolina. This is Law territory. Hey, man, check it out. It's the Law, and the Law is where it's at. So Jeff Hardy is present. So I'm here to check it out. I'm here to rock everybody. And that's what Law is all about. L-A-W. Jeff Hardy.
And I must give Jim extra points for completely out of nowhere randomness.
Thank you. Thank you. I try.
So, ladies and gentlemen, please do not adjust your internet. It is not 4 years ago. It is tonight. This is the North American Wrestling Connection. My name is Nikki Hayman. We've got a whole bunch to talk about, but we do need some quick introductions, and you've already heard one voice tonight, the sound and fury of our show, Mr. Jim Williams.
You know, I've learned something very important, Nikki, from Jersey Shore. I'll briefly mention it. Both Jay Wow and Sammy Sweetheart can both wrestle better than Lacey Von Erich.
Ooh. Ooh.
Fist bump.
Okay. Ouch. Looking for anyone that wrestles better than Lacey Von Erich is like finding a needle in a stack of needles.
True.
I think he has you there, so we're just going to bump him up in the order and introduce the number three on the show, Mr. Ford.
Good to be here, and that's my good introduction for the week.
And finally, substituting for a suddenly backing out VRM, and no heat, man. Don't worry about it. From deep in the heart of Texas, Mr. Typho.
After hearing Jeff Hardy open the show there, I guess we know who taught Michael McGillicuddy how to cut a promo.
Exactly.
You said the good, buddy. But I'm not going to be that mean. Okay, we have an hour to get through two tons of crap. And I'm not just talking TNA.
Oh.
That wasn't very nice. I know that wasn't very nice of me. Stat Boy sent me twice the results from No Surrender, which I did not get to see. I don't know if any of you boys got to see it.
I have seen a little bit. I missed the first hour and a half.
Thoughts, impressions, face palms.
I definitely thought the main event was a great match, even if it did have a very tough act to follow, which I knew as soon as they announced Angle versus Hardy was going on first, I knew that we were going to get some controversy.
And controversy they did, although some of it might have been legit. It's my understanding that part of the reason the match was stopped was because Angle had dislocated a rib.
Ooh.
And I'm just trying to imagine that. And I don't like what I'm imagining. But since that... Yeah, that's about where I'd be at. Since it was a no contest, nobody's going to get a point for that. And Josh Henniger's response to that is Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I mean, just WTF. So, around the list here, Velvet Sky, Madison Rayne. We all said Madison Rayne. Velvet Sky wins. So we all lose. I only have one thing to say about that real quick.
Yeah,
that one. Whoa! No
one's going to space mountain for that one.
Yeah. That won't be the last one you're going to hear for that.
I doubt it.
Rhino Abyss, at least we were all on the same page about, and we were all correct.
Of course, Rhino hasn't won a match since 2004.
Actually, 2007, when he had a cup of coffee with the TNA title, and it was still the NWA title. But it was a very cold cup of coffee because it didn't last him the week. Anyway, William Silver Sabu. This was obvious because they're not going to do. They weren't going to put a belt on Sabu, so everybody gets a point for that. Sting and Nash versus Jarrett and Joe. That one's a great big for most of us. Forrest, you and Jim got part of it.
See, when you're dealing with a lack of common sense, you're able to pick things in TNA.
Exactly.
So you should get a point, and everybody else gets buckus. Styles versus Dreamer. Anybody who picked AJ Styles was probably picking right. I should know better. Dreamer doesn't usually win at pay-per-view. I love you, Tommy, and I'm sorry. But points to Henniger, Jason, Forth, and Jim. Let's see. Anderson, De Niro, I am an idiot. Everybody else gets a point. Because I'm the only one to pick the Pope. I should know better. Assholes always win, right?
I guess so.
So with dust settling for that, I am at the very bottom of the pile with two. Typho, you and DJ didn't do much better with three. Staff Boy and Jason are slightly above that with four. Leaving the belt out, leaving the Fizzleweight title belt to be held in by two different individuals, that would be Mr. Forrest and Mr. Jim Williams.
Pigs can fly, hell has frozen over. I've actually won a TNA pick'em, at least Cobon.
So, gentlemen, please do not cut this belt in half.
That would be flawless, though. Yes.
Kafal objects.
Real talk.
I wouldn't be doing any impressions of Kafal anytime soon.
I can't get my voice that deep.
Well, you know...
The man who does movie narration on the side. Anyway,
Chuck Norris starring in.
Let me go dig up some other news before we get to Raw. We've had a lot of excitement outside of the ring. As we had Jim the Anvil Neidhart was recently picked up for burglary and possession of controlled substances.
Ah, daily double.
And he tried the Cheech and Chong defense and tried to eat the evidence.
So the worst part is, I'm not even making this up, the link wouldn't work for me, so I decided to ask in a humorous way who it was. So it's like, who in the name of Natalia's father got in trouble? The response immediately was...
Correct.
No. But the response was, he did.
That's not right.
So it was a pretty good amount of OxyContin and methadone. And Anvil, you're a trooper, but this is not the time to fight the cops. You don't do the Austin with real cops.
Yes.
But he thought he could finally get over as a singles competitor.
Oh. Wow.
Ouch. I thought that hurt. I will get you for that. But we really don't have any other information other than he probably was held without bond. And Natty's not going to be a very happy camper.
No.
Hopefully, Now, this is going to sound like a really out-of-nowhere question, but would news like this actually affect the Hart dynasty? I don't think it's gotten enough, you know, I don't think it's gotten enough press that it's going to actually do something to them.
Honestly, apart from someone using it as a work shoot comment, I'm not sure how much it would affect them. Maybe it would probably shake up Natalya for a while, but other than that, nothing major.
I just like to say, like, immediately removed him from the WWE alumni page. Oh, related to drugs.
We can't have that.
They dumped Luna Vachon's profile, too. Oh, die from drugs. Get her out of here. Take Amble down, too, while you're at it.
We'll
see. Oh, and Sarah, Victoria. She redid your DNA.
Good.
We're in the day and age where you can digitally alter things, so I'm waiting to see the match involve any Hart Foundation matchup and Neidhart digitally removed completely from the match, so whoever is wrestling air. It can be done. So we're getting close to that.
I want to see him show the match from Nitro in 98 where Neidhart wrestled Benoit. See how that one works. Two blurs fighting each other.
On the subject of retconning, how would this concern the tag match between the Rockers and the Hart Foundation?
Who?
Oh, jeez.
They'll count the title change now.
And my head is exploding.
Okay, that hurt. Let's go with somebody who was even more pain, and that would be Hulk Hogan, who, poor Hulkster, had trouble getting out of bed, and I could really make a joke here because his girlfriend was the one who called the ambulance. I was wondering if they could put her in as an accomplice for assault. Wait,
the sad part was the story of how he hurt his back. The guy who body slammed Andre, the guy who went toe to toe with Macho Man, jobs to seashells.
I heard this story.
Say no, brother.
I'd love to have given the credit to his girlfriend, fiance, soulmate of the day.
Daughter lookalike.
Flavor of the week.
Yeah.
Oh, yo.
Where it is essentially, I did not sleep with that intern. No, I better not go there. But, as you know, his back may be compromised, but his ego will never die, as a twit video was up within the hour.
Yeah, that shows you the kind of man he is, to be taking video while you're down and out, or, you know, you hurt your back, kind of shows you just how vain you are, kind of, really.
I shouldn't complain. I mean, this has been a part of his life for so long. This is something that, you know, that's great. I just, you know, I pray that this isn't going to get tied into TNA storylines.
One thing was
at the helm of TNA creative. Watch, it will.
Well, at least we know that because it's Hogan at the helm, production wise, it has to include Brian Knobbs.
Yes.
Because there's nobody we want to see more than Brian Knobbs.
Pity.
Let's see, that's another one crossed off my list. Just jumping back to the pay-per-view real quick. We had a match change. Because Brutus Magnus didn't make the pay-per-view. Does anybody know what happened?
I heard that he had made an indie booking on the same day and couldn't get out of it or something. But I don't know if that's the actual thing.
He probably got jumped by Batista for stealing his sunglasses.
That kind of crazy booking is a fireable offense in TNA anymore. But I don't have any information. I just wanted to throw that out there and see if anybody knew. I mean, you know, good for Generation Me getting some pay-per-view time. But you know, it's a head-scratcher. So hopefully somebody will give us some answers. What was the other thing I wanted to hit here before we actually went into talking about Raw? Yes. No, actually, I'm going to save that for when we actually get to NXT. Monday Night Raw was a very, very busy show. And we've had some curious developments. Chris Jericho is no longer in the Six-Pack Challenge, and now we only have five. It wasn't until tonight that anybody even said something about replacing Jericho. Now, I'm going to throw my speculation out there. I think they took Jericho out of the Six-Pack Challenge because wasn't his contract coming up, and they finally twisted his arm to stay?
I thought
that would seem about right to me.
I think so, particularly because it seems like they're going for some sort of maybe a face turn. Because he had the one-night face turn at a house show, and here he didn't react, like, really heelish. He just looked kind of distraught. So, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah. And hands up to anybody who wanted them to cut back and find, like, six or seven guys all staring off in the same direction.
You show like the entire Raw lower card jobber guys just right behind them looking up, trying to figure out what he's looking at.
Yeah. I was waiting for them to cut back and just see a whole bunch of the guys doing that. And then they all get run over by the Nexus.
Or somebody comes up to Jericho and say, yes, that is asbestos up there. Yes.
I think, and the face, Jericho's face turn, I think you're right, is probably imminent. I think that the goofball Y2J has been bottled up for way too long. He's been this super serious heel for 2.5 years. This is the longest he's been serious about anything that I can think of. And, you know, okay, Chris Jericho's out of the Six-Pack Challenge, but can we get Y2J back in there? Stay out of this, Daphne. But I just found it curious. They didn't talk about who was going to replace Jericho until they went through the pay-per-view lineups on SmackDown this week, which I just thought was really strange. But then again, it's WWE booking. Things like this happen. So, let's see, we have a new development in the women's title match. The fact that we are vying for an undefined champion.
Yes.
Okay.
We should all strive to
put that stuff up. Yes.
Alicia, we...
All I know is as long as Melina throws that goddamn butterfly in a trash can or somewhere, I would be very happy.
I'm worried,
though.
You,
that's the belt they're keeping. I
yeah,
guarantee
thank
they're
you,
keeping
Tyson.
That one. They've
thank
broken
you,
the other one in half. It's a shame they're getting rid of the championship that has about 50 years of tradition.
And four of them were young.
Yeah. But the other one's stupid looking, and four-year-olds might buy it, so automatically that's the one they keep.
Perfect for your my-size Barbie doll at home, ladies and gentlemen.
Sadly, since Mattel's involved with the figure designs...
Yeah.
Well, in that case,
okay,
let's put
I'm
a necktie around it.
Yeah.
I'm calling it... Divas Champion Barbie dolls out for Christmas.
That's right. Well, it's, well, you know, ever since the boob job, you know, Barbie has become more smart, sexy, and powerful.
I think you already know my answer to this, if I can find it. Angle, where'd
That's
you go?
That's the question. Can you find it?
Angle.
Oh, yes.
Who took it out of here?
I didn't touch it. I know nothing.
Ooh.
tell me to try.
Screw your bones.
Damn it, spoke too late.
Right. That's definitely not the right one.
Hell yeah.
Okay,
you
I'm sick of...
any time after the show.
I want you to start playing random sound bites just to see how long it takes until you get to one for a certain stable of three next generation stars that somewhat dominated Raw a few years
Baby
back.
Baby oil!
Ah, yeah.
Exactly.
That one's still in there. I don't know how, and I don't know why. Okay. Getting back on track with Raw here. A budding love rhombus is erupting with DiBiase and Maryse. We had a couple of mystery notes and a couple of mystery things pop, you know, and a mysterious phone call.
It's good to see the old I still remember note writers back.
Oh, my word! Oh, and the fact that I watched King of the Ring 2002. 7-year rule is in effect. They got him his job back.
Yes.
It's really too early.
Nydia's writing the notes.
Huh?
Nydia's writing the notes.
Nah, Jamie Noble is. He's hiding in the back, you know, trying to keep away from Sheamus before he ties him in a knot and sends him home. Let's see. All right, here's another big question mark. Darren Young's back.
Yeah,
he called himself
something.
I'm confused. And then he called himself the missing link. God love him. God's already got the missing link. We don't need another one, do we? Or we just...
Well, it just proves the chain is just so effed up. That's, you know...
The real question is... Are they going to try to put him back in the Nexus, or are they going to try to at least build up a mid-card that doesn't include The Miz, as he's probably going to be in the main event in a few months?
If not sooner, because now that we've finally gotten what we've been probably clamoring for since NXT started, getting Miz and Bryan in the ring at the same time for the U.S. title, once the... Daniel Bryan relieves him of that belt, which is what I think is going to happen. Miz is going to go find his way into the main event, swinging that briefcase like a sledgehammer. Mm-hmm. So, but again, that might be, maybe that's another one that's too soon to really comment on. But I don't see him going back into the Nexus. Now,
maybe. Well, let me beg a question. Remember the end of Nexus Season 2, what happened there with everybody kind of uniting? We have not seen them, correct?
No, we have not seen them yet. And the WrestleCraft WrestleCraft boards talked about a group, talked about a second group called Genesis.
TNA should be filing a lawsuit. Oh, I'm sorry.
I was going to say, no. Phil Collins said no, so they might not go through with the storyline.
WWE would have a countersuit anyway, since Fortune's a ripoff of Nexus.
Collins is ready to sing Sue Studio. There I said it.
Ah! You know what?
My
but it's well. Good, James. Very good.
Thank you very much.
You're no prizes in the mail.
Be able to try the waitress.
No comment.
Yeah, thank you.
Next week's Raw is a rare event. They are dusting off the roulette wheel for only the fourth time since its inception.
Mm.
And I will be present at the event.
Uh-oh.
You all have
as always, I hope for a coal miner's glove match.
I was going to say, Nikki, I would be your friend forever if you bring a sign mentioning that.
Coal miner's glove. I wanted to capture the midget match, personally.
Just bring a big sign. Every time they spin the wheel, hold it up that says coal miner's glove.
Other than Cole in the face. But yeah, I'm just a quick, you know, quick programming note. Yes, I will be hosting next Friday, but I will be on the road early next week. I am attending Raw in Cincinnati and the SmackDown NXT tapings in Detroit. I have also arranged very good seating for the double taping of Raw in Indianapolis on the 20th.
Nice.
I will not be on camera there, but my pictures are going to be awesome. So, in the course of... Sorry, Jim?
No, I was just saying, I bet they will be.
Well, I'll be fit, so everybody's going to be facing me. And this should be a mess anyway because we've already confirmed most of the superfans are going to be there. The only one that is missing is the original sign guy. Palette Swap sign guy should be there. The clowns are going to be there. The Tuckers are going to be there. A guy who is the self-professed WWE's biggest fan will also be there. He lives in Greenwood. There's no way he was going to, you know, and that makes him 10 minutes away from Canseco Fieldhouse, so he'll be there. So, good, congratulations. You just got a mention on my radio show. Dagnabbit, that's who I forgot. I don't know if he'll come this far north for a non-pay-per-view event. But yeah, I'm adding a Raw Roulette, NXT Season 3, and a double taping to my list. Night of Champions, still up in the air. It could happen. I'll let you guys know.
That would be the ultimate double rainbow.
Well, I didn't get to go to Night of Champions when they still called it Vengeance. So I wouldn't mind given that I've only done two pay-per-views already this year. I was at Chamber and I was at Over the Limit. Would love to be at Night of Champions. That's Chicago, though. That's a 5-hour drive. So if I'm going, I ain't going alone. So let us move on, since I mentioned NXT Season 3. Here come the Divas.
Yay.
And I know you're happy, Typho. I'm just disappointed that Alicia succumbed to Rule 34. That's why she got fired.
She was legitimate fired or just...
No, it was legit fired. Because, Jim, as you mentioned before the show started... Oh, no, wait, it was Jason that told me this. Anyway, Alicia essentially fell victim to Rule 34. She posted some very revealing photos of the giantess. So... The company thought that wasn't a really good idea. And since the 7-year-old wasn't in effect and the fact that the Playboy stuff was done as late as 2008, yeah, 2008, they had to fire her. Which is a shame because I think that was probably why a lot of people were going to tune in.
Oh, exactly. I think everybody would have wanted to see the dynamic between her and not just the other divas, but her and the bigger, if not bigger, ego of Vicky Guerrero.
Yeah.
I was going to say,
it feels like now more than it did the last season, like they're just stalling for time.
Which they don't really have. Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, because she seems like the one that everyone really had a vested interest in watching instead of everybody else.
Although I'm going to give the gals credit, they are trying to make up for it. Naomi really wants to be there. AJ really wants to be there. Caitlin is really, really, you know, as is getting into her character as the humiliated also ran working for Vicky Guerrero. But the show, unfortunately, has had a stumbling start in the fact that the pros kind of buggered up their ending in the pro rookie tag match Tuesday night, or was that just me?
How could that happen with pros like Kelly Kelly and Alicia Fox?
Oh, my.
Two veterans of the Ring Wars.
Okay, I'll be honest. The only two pros that I really think are worth anything are Goldust and, to a far lesser extent, Primo. Otherwise, these pros just... Calling them pros is kind of like some sort of ironic joke at WWE.
It is, but unfortunately, you know, the I hate to say wrestling women, the actual ones that are, you know, the wrestlers, that, or the ones we would consider wrestlers, like, you know, Mickie James, she's gone. Beth Phoenix, she's hurt. Why didn't they call Natalya?
She's a manager.
Oh, she wrestles? I didn't know that. What a, sir, flip script prize.
Just like Serena, when she was around, she was just a manager. She was no wrestler.
No,
she
but
made her in-ring debut against veteran Kelly Kelly.
Throw Gail Kim a bone, even. Jeez.
No, why isn't Jillian a pro? Aren't you supposed to put the more entertaining people around as pros? I mean, the Bella Twins aren't entertaining. Jillian is.
I've put quotes around entertaining when it comes to Jillian, too, but...
Why don't you compare her to the Bella Twins?
Well...
I agree that Gail
Kim... Tired old act, that's the thing.
Yeah, I agree that they should have had Gail Kim as one of the pros. She's been around... Yeah, we're coming up on 7 years now. I was at her WWE debut in Buffalo in 2003 when she was in the Battle Royal. Jazz got hurt, and she walked out with the women's title in her debut match. And now
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, they've forgotten that she even exists. We see her on TV, what, once a month, if that?
Yeah,
she
really
shows up
that.
The job occasionally.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say she's part of the not ready for primetime players that is Superstars.
She's not at the level of Kelly Kelly or an Eve Torres yet. One day, maybe.
Yes. And plus, if Gail Kim was on the roster as a pro, she could teach these up-and-coming NXTers very important lessons, like what to do when you popped your implant in a wrestling match.
Ooh.
Very important
Damn.
Things. These are things they need to know because this is what the WWE is all about. Let's put in some silicone, but let's be PG about it, okay? You know, it's kind of like a double-edged sword there.
So,
yeah, get your implants done, but damn it, you better be covering them up.
On the subject of silicone, does anyone think that about Jamie or what's her name, Jamie Keys or whatever?
If Jamie Keys wins, I'm through with NXT. Just wanted to say that.
If she can wrestle a modicum better than she can ring announce, I'll back her.
When she was ring announcing, I'm not kidding, it sounded like she was doing the ring announcing for a video game.
And it just, you know, and I... Lillian, come back. You may get a few things wrong, but at least you sounded like an announcer.
Indeed.
So.
Now, Jamie makes Todd Grisham look like a capable ring announcer. Oops, did I mention that? Okay.
Speaking of people who don't deserve to have a microphone in their hands, I forgot to mention that next week we're getting a guest host.
Oh, you're going to go there. Okay.
We will be.
I'm already doing the river dance.
We are going to be blessed with the presence of Chad. Wishes he was he hate me, Ocho Cinco.
You gotta love Chad. Oh, well, you don't, but...
No, I heard about it, and this was my reaction.
Oh, hell no!
All right. Why so, I dare ask?
I guess it's just, you know, first of all, he'll probably bring Terrell Owens with him.
God, I hope so.
It's popcorn, right?
If he does it, I want MVP to come out and slap them both, but he's on SmackDown, unfortunately. Maybe it's just the fact that I don't watch a whole lot of football, or the fact that I live close enough to Cincinnati that he's all I ever hear about when it comes to the Bungles.
I can understand that. Okay.
But that being said,
he is a hell of an entertainer. I mean, this guy's getting a show on Versus with T.O. like in another month or two, for Christ's sakes.
Go ahead, Forrest.
I was going to say, the question I have, though, is it going to be the style they've had the last few times they've had a host, where they just come out, plug whatever they're doing, and are never seen again, or is it going to be plastered throughout the show?
Well, it depends on whether he walks in with a Pac-Man Jones clause.
Oh, man. Win the tag titles?
No, that he's not allowed to get involved. He's not allowed to get physically involved in anything. And if he wins the unified tag team titles with anybody,
Ron Killings is on Raw. History will repeat itself.
Team Ocho.
If that happens, I'm gonna walk back to the ticket window and demand my money back. And drive home. Nobody can come.
Chad Ocho Cinco and Terrell Owens win the tag titles. Neither of them can touch anybody. It's a phantom win. They go in and Tyson can take the bump, and one of them pins him.
They only go in with...
That might make David Arquette look respectable. Ugh.
They would probably go in with Bret Hart, who has at least three or four moves than they do now.
This is going to be a slobber knocker.
Yes, it is. So let me get this straight. So Nikki, actually, more than anything else at this point, is really hoping that on Sunday in Foxborough, Massachusetts, the Chad Ocho Cinco gets himself seriously injured. Is that what you're saying, pretty much?
Would I say that? Would I say such a horrible, horrible, horrible fate to such a fine entertainer? Do you really want me to answer that?
You can't say it with a straight face.
Do you really want to answer that?
No, thank you.
So,
thank you, Gilbert.
With that in mind, I will probably, I'm going to be the only one booing, which means I'm going to be murdered in Cincinnati on Monday. If should that happen, Jim, you can have the show.
And all profits to go with it. Okay.
Yeah.
Muhammad and all the other ones.
Okay. I did not see TNA this week. I was down in Chillicothe working with IWA and ran into some of my old clients.
I don't think any of us saw it.
I
thought you meant my working. It wasn't taped. And TNA, I honestly did not get to see. I have not read any spoilers or reports, so...
Well, they just did tapings for next week because they didn't want to lose a major ratings battle to football, so instead went with Gangland reruns.
That's right.
In other words, they conceded defeat.
Yes, they tapped out to the NFL.
But they did do a Bound for Glory preview show on TNAWrestling.com, in which for the 754th time in the last 2 weeks, Dixie Carter's announced that TNA is going to change forever on October 7th.
You know, they really need at TNA a marketing consultant. I mean, in advertising and marketing, there are buzzwords that work, and there are buzzwords that don't work. We're going to change the universe. Okay, it can work if you do it, but not when you say it every other tweet, every other day, so on and so forth. They can't afford an advertising consultant. Thanks, Hogan.
Somebody needs to take the words big surprise and changing forever out of their vocabulary. They say them both all the time, and neither of them ever have.
This makes Tony Schiavone's...
Brian Knott's back.
This makes Tony Schiavone's whole greatest night whatever thing actually sound impressive.
by comparison.
At least, they've stopped saying now whenever somebody, another ex-WWE guy comes in, at least they've stopped calling him the biggest acquisition in TNA history. I think every Christian, Kurt Angle, Mick Foley, anyone who came in was the biggest acquisition in TNA history.
That's only because, like I said, it's only because they haven't gotten any WWE guys of late. Because I think the word's finally gotten out that it just don't pay to be down there. Orlando Jordan's got a sugar daddy and a sugar mama, I think. And you can take that any way you like.
I'd like to just throw it aside.
And Jim's answer was...
How'd you get a microphone on my toilet earlier today? Amazing. I can tell you.
So I'm going to do a very hard segue, and instead of your toilet, we're going to talk about an executive washroom that is now attached to a brand new office that's been put into Titan Towers.
Oh yes, the one with a shovel outside of it.
I hear it's going to have a glass ceiling.
I understand the chair is going to be a throne. With crossed swords and not a sledgehammer, but a maul on it. They're currently
and a water bottle in the cup holder.
Oh, that so ruined the image. Anyway, they're still looking for an ancient enough oak to carve the desk so that His Majesty the Evil Dr. Levesque, who is now officially a senior advisor for the E, I believe is his official title. And when they told him that he got the job, they told him where his office was going to be. He picked up a sledgehammer and made a lot of room.
And then pedigreed 4 or 5 bystanders.
I was going to say something about pedigreeing his secretary, but Stephanie wouldn't approve.
Yeah.
It would be like the segment where he tried to teach Trish how to wrestle.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
But the look on Hunter's face was amazing. The look on Stephanie's face was funny. But this begs the question. Now that the Evil Doc has made it official in some IWC eyes that he has taken over, is he or does he come back to the ring, Jim?
I don't know. That's the $64,000 question minus taxes. I'm not sure. I would think he's probably going to come back at some point because just he's going to get bored. What it depends on, I think, more than anything else is obviously if he's healthy enough. And God forbid if somebody goes down who's a top flight person on the roster. If enough people go down, he has no choice but to come back. On his free will, on his own free will, I'm not 100% sure that he is.
All right. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I figured he would come back at least in the short term, because they always make this big deal about how Sheamus has ended Triple H, and it sounds like Triple H would not want to end his career outright by saying that somebody put him out. Almost like he wants to say that he decided to end it on top almost. Not that he was run out. So I would say at least for a little while longer.
Typho, slightly non-sarcastic answer, please.
I mean, I'm pretty sure it's a given that he's coming back or they wouldn't talk about him on TV all the time.
Bingo.
If he was really just going to fade off into his office job and not come back, they wouldn't mention him as much as they do. Just pretty much saying that, yeah, so-and-so ended so-and-so's career. That's just pretty much a 100% guarantee that he'll be back.
I'm not sure when he's going to come back. I really think he is, just on that logic, the fact that they keep mentioning him by name, because Sheamus also ended Jamie Noble's career. Yes, Jamie Noble is a C-carder, is a C-carder and a hard worker and all this wonderful, wonderful thing. So he doesn't, you know, he's not another Triple H. But they don't even, you know, why would Sheamus mention who he killed by name? Just like
if you listen to Paul London and Brian Kendrick, Jamie Noble's a mini Chris Benoit.
As my whole argument just got derailed.
Yeah.
I was gonna liken it back to Randy Orton's Legend Killer tour. How he kept the list of all the legends he took out on his, you know, on his way to greatness and flipping off the ropes at Bad Blood 04. But yeah, I think Hunter's going to come back. I couldn't tell you when. And to be honest, the belt doesn't even have to be involved.
I don't think he wants to pursue the belt, quite frankly. I think his days of going after, chasing titles are over with. It's put people over, not unlike what he's doing in his office side of things.
Right. So he's just biding his time, getting his office set up properly, making sure that the internet line is secure. He'd complain that he couldn't...
I feel so sorry if Stephanie goes in the office one day and he's in a bad mood. That's all I'm saying.
I like the line somebody used on the WrestleCraft forum that someday when Chris Jericho dies, he'll be buried in the office.
Oh.
Woo.
Oh, what else have we got? Let me see what else I have on my news list here. Oh, I did have some TNA news left. And I have one of the Game Show Geeks on my show right now.
Yes.
So, Jim,
why did I not do it?
Yeah, why didn't you
do
this
one? Why did I not do a mock intro? Oh, well, I'm going to wait till the week it actually airs and maybe give you some fun snippets of Steve Harvey being racial on them. It's a Family Feud show. No. By the way, love Steve Harvey on Family Feud. Yeah. TNA wrestlers are going to be on Family Feud for sweeps. One wonders if TNA will be around by sweeps, some would say. But it's going to happen. Let me draw up the full list here. Give me one moment.
I've got it if you need it.
All right, shoot.
Because it's pretty much guys versus the gals, and I can't
it's
quite
knockouts
do it.
Versus the
knockouts versus the stoners. Because on one side we have Jay Lethal, Mick Foley, Matt Morgan, Ken Anderson, and Rob Van Dam. Ready for action.
Playing against the TNA Knockouts.
Angelina Love, Lacey Von Erich, Velvet Sky, Christy Hemme, and Tara. On your marks.
Okay, two things.
Oh, good grief.
Sorry.
I think Mr. Anderson is probably the only one to have been on both the WWE and TNA versions. But also,
Christy Hemme was also.
Yeah?
Yep.
Cool.
And also, that is another useless fact. Go ahead.
I was also thinking, are they going to stay, how far in kayfabe are they staying? Are they going to make it where they're just completely out, or are they going to be completely in? Or somewhere in between is what I was like, well,
Lacey Von Erich have to play super dumb.
That was actually what I was getting at.
I don't think they're going to go too far into character, just the fact that with the guys that at some point a fight's going to break out since Morgan, I believe, is part of Fortune.
Yep.
And then we have RVD and Foley from EV 2.0. Anderson, who's an asshole by his own admission.
Yes.
Might just give dumb answers just so they lose. That's what an asshole would do. And then you have Jay Lethal, who would have more fun doing impersonations than actually answering the questions.
Pretty much, yeah. It shall be riveting television, and it's only a shame that that damn show airs at 4 o'clock in the morning in this market.
But this isn't happening until we don't get to see it until November. I take it it's taping soon, though.
I think they're taping next week down in Universal. Well, of course, they're using TNA because Family Feud relocated from Los Angeles last season, where they've been for the last, I don't know how many years, to Universal Studios in Orlando. Gee, what a surprise.
Does that mean now the Family Feud and studio audience chance of this is awesome?
Jeez,
I'm curious to see how many of the Asylum people end up in that audience.
I'd be more interested to see how many people know what an asylum is. It's Universal Studios. They're getting everybody from walk-ups, so.
Let's see. What else do we have on here?
Earthquake Garage isn't ready. Okay, let's go see Family Feud. Yeah.
There you go. Speaking of riveting viewing, Legendary has hit theaters.
Sorry.
I
promise I won't throw you in the room, but I will slap you around a little bit. The book ticket sales, WWE had autograph signings at a few of the premieres.
Stryker even showed up in New York.
Yeah, Stryker was at one, Beth Phoenix was at one, Hornswoggle was at one.
What are the odds that John Cena, the star of the movie, was at one?
No. He's got a house show schedule. He can't do that.
That wouldn't be hard life.
No, but he's got to go show off all his L.A. Lakers cheap pop purple. Thank you, Kappa Amy.
True that.
But preliminary info. Let's see. Preliminary reviews that have come back, a lot of people were satisfied, impressed. I still haven't seen a joke that the movie needed more explosions.
Explosions where the car should have been blown up into smithereens, but look, it's perfectly fine.
It reviews more of John Cena repeatedly yelling, "Come on!"
Well, he got a lot of practice of that whenever he works in a tag match. He's like, come on, let me get in there, I'll fix everything, don't worry.
Yeah.
I'm Super Cena. Well, it's funny, the movie itself, I'm on the RottenTomatoes.com, the tomatometer, if you will, rates it at 18%, which is, now that's going to say it's craptacular. You know, what I'm wondering though, if you're a critic, and by the way, for what it's worth, when I searched for the listing, it only listed Patricia Clarkson and Danny Glover as the two stars of it. Cena got shafted in the listing. That's kind of fun. But Cena's when you get to the page, Cena's on there. But when you get to the search engine part, I thought that was kind of funny. Well, anyway, what I'm wondering is how many of these, critics are basing the movie, canning the movie just because it is a WWE film. Probably the majority of them.
Probably. Because while a couple of the WWE movies deserve the bad rap, I'm looking at you, Cena, and the first Marine movie, the lost episode of the 18th. It's my understanding that Cena Evil wasn't bad for a horror flick. I wouldn't know. I don't watch horror flicks. A friend of mine noted that whenever he goes shopping for DVDs, when he comes across See No Evil, he doesn't find it in the bargain bin. Most horror movies usually drop in price once they've been on DVD for a while. Just like most DVDs, but in this case, they usually drop down and they get thrown in the $5 bin. See No Evil has yet to hit the $5 bin and still sells for $20 at most outlets, which is probably why they're not selling, which I'm not going to be that mean.
Well, if they can make their money in DVD sales, all the better, because they're not going to get into the box office by and large, especially when Legendary is put in selected theaters, and we certainly hope your theater has been selected.
Only a few theaters have gotten the privilege to show Legendary, according to Jerry Lawler.
Mm-hmm. Well, at least he didn't wear Lederhosen, that's all I'm saying.
I skipped that for a reason.
Yeah, well...
All the more reason to hate Michael Cole.
Do we at least bring up the fact that AJ wrapped Tony Chimble's tie around his neck during the dance?
The last time when Danielson and that happened, the news broke on a Friday, so
I'm waiting.
I got 5 minutes.
Has AJ been future endeavored yet?
Please go ahead, because I'm going to change the subject in a minute. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I want to give Cole some credit, because the night before on Raw, he pretty much called out Kali for botching like crazy, and I'm sorry, but when you get called out by Michael Cole for botching, you've really effed up big time. Over the top rope match, and he climbed over the top rope to get out. Yeah.
Well, I blame that.
Study
I blame
the Randy Savage book of over the top rope matches.
I blame the referee for not calling it right there, but that's just me.
And Edge is not that strong enough to lift Kali up during a pinfall attempt.
Mm-hmm. So let me get some good news in here near the end. Jim Cornette found his way back to Louisville.
Yeah. Did he go to Dairy Queen?
After he stopped there, he drove over to Ohio Valley. And he is now doing behind-the-scenes work for Ohio Valley Wrestling. There is whispers that since he has not dissolved his ties with Ring of Honor, that these two could get tied together. And I kind of like that idea.
Haven't they already done some cross promotional type stuff? Like, didn't Austin Aries do a few OVW shows?
Would not surprise me. I don't have any. I wish I had more information. We'll just have to keep an eye and an ear on that. If I have you on the show, Typho, I had to report this. SmackDown vs. Raw 2011, they've answered your prayers. Vance Archer made it.
Oh, no. Yes.
Finally, justice has prevailed.
I thought his dream was a bra and panties match or an evening gown match with polygonal stripping. I don't know.
I think they ran out of memory trying to put that in the game, huh, Typho?
Yeah.
Most likely.
So
maybe now I can live my dreams of a Vance Archer Primo molester tag team.
But special guest manager Chris Hansen, yes.
That would remind me.
Once Nexus is over, Michael Tarver can join them.
Oh, wow.
John Hyde, like, needs to be in this game as a legend.
I refuse to let him out of the room for that. Sorry. Let's see. From the chat room, Chad Gaspard somehow made the game, despite the fact that he's been on TV, three times since Crime Time broke up?
Maybe I didn't know they were going to have an FCW roster in the game. Tyler Rex make it too?
I don't know. I'll look into that, because we're pretty much out of time. So, gentlemen, thank you for coming in. The North American Wrestling Connection has survived another show. So, ladies and gentlemen, good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Buenas noches. Con Alberto del Rio.
Before I type up, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Forrest.
I was going to say, a friend of mine, I put SmackDown on for a moment, and guess which particular wrestler typo he actually seemed to enjoy?
Michelle McCool.
No. Alberto Del Rio.
Well, he is a big deal fairly quick.
I think that was the only thing we didn't really get to was talking a bit about SmackDown, but I'm not really worried about it. I personally am digging the Undertaker Kane stuff right
now. Yeah.
That they're trying so hard to make Undertaker vulnerable, and he's doing such a good job just throwing touches in there. His voice is off. His moves are off. The zombie sit-up has been eliminated from his arsenal. What else?
They should have him start, like, jobbing on superstars to Vance Archer to really put it over.
No. That's going a little too far. You don't want to take away so much momentum that we know he's going to kill Kane. But props to the video package they put on tonight about all that. I'm going to have to rip that at some point.
I always love seeing the old Paul Bear footage. And even better is the call from Bad Blood 97 when Kane's walking down the aisle and Vince McMahon screaming, "That's got to be Kane." No, it's just some other random new wrestler coming out with Paul Bear. Not the guy he's been talking about for 6 months.
This is just a warm-up before I bring you to Kane. So,
This isn't Kane. This is just fake Diesel in a mask.
It's Isaac Yankum's new scrubs.
Oh.
Isaac Yankum finally had all his dental work done, and he's got to wear this mask for a little while until it heals.
And Blog Talk Radio has gone completely belly up, so I can't even try to smite you with a sound effect.
It's been warriored. That's what I refer to it as on my show. Ultimate Warrior is usually responsible for my soundboard death.
Due to his incredible discipline.
All right, gentlemen, I'm gonna call it here because I've actually got to work tomorrow.
All right.
But Typho, thanks for jumping in.
No problem.
And Fort, thanks for coming.
Thank you.
And Jim, wherever you went, you have a good evening. And we'll do this again next week. So, gentlemen, good night.
Night.
Good night.